Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, some potentially good news today out of all of the chaos around the Trump administration and all of the insanity there. Some potentially good news for the UAW members, and we're going to find out when they have their ratification vote. We find out that the strike is going to last until, as I understand, October 25th. Where the members can vote on what's been presented. And from initially when I looked at it, I'm going, well, it's not bad. A little bit of a wage increase, moving the temporary permanent employees to permanent, some better pathways there. But still, when the devil's in the details, and here to share some thoughts on the announcement today, and maybe what we're finding out and what we know. I've asked Frank Hammer to come talk with us. Frank is a retired UAW member and former UAW local president, someone who actually did some negotiating like they're doing right now. Frank, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to do it, Rick. Thank you very much.
So let me give me your gut reaction. What do you think?
So the agreement is designed for a ratification. And when I say that, I mean that there's a lot of cash in it.
Right.
So, you know, workers are going to be looking at what they call the legacy workers and
right.
the in progression. They're going to be looking at this $11,000 bonus.
Yeah, I can make back all the money I missed while I was on strike.
Yeah. And, you know, they have half that amount to, I believe it is, the temporary workers. They're going to get a signing bonus. So I think up front, in terms of the cash that is going out there with the agreement, is designed to get a ratification, considering that people will already have been out on strike 31 days. And by the time the ratification vote is completed, which I think is October 26th, there'll be another full week of out on the picket line. So that's pretty clear. And then there's also provisions for buyouts and with bonuses of $60,000 for the buyouts.
Wow.
So that means that, you know, there'll be the legacy workers will have an opportunity to, you know, retire and take buyouts and leave their employment with GM, and that'll enable GM to hire lower paid workers. That's, you know, there's a win-win in that situation for both parties. So there's a lot of that, and but I think what it really represents to me is that it's really writing into stone the employment arrangements that henceforth is going to be the template for work and the future of work in the U.S. and including the maintenance of long-term temporary employees, the continued stratification of the workforce. Even though I noticed that over the life of the agreement, that the in progression and legacy workers will finally, at the end of the 4 years, be making the same rate of pay.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's a new development, that it will be done within the 4 years. However, if you learn, for example, that even though they're going to be getting the same wage rate, the in progression workers don't get a pension like the legacy workers. And the in progression workers will not have health care when they retire. And that's just, there's all these ways that the workforce is being differentiated, and certain people will get certain things and other workers won't. That structure is now, if this, with a ratification of this agreement, will be carved in stone.
Right.
And
No, you're right. And those are huge things that nobody seemed to pick up on.
Well, you know, I can tell you that the temps picked up on it for sure. Certainly, the in progression workers picked on it for sure.
I mean,
and I have to say,
as I'm reading through the media reports, you know,
this is
the first I'm hearing of that. This is the first I'm hearing that wasn't addressed.
Okay, now I got it. And unfortunately, I've been very active and very busy for the day, and I haven't got a chance to really review what the media is putting out. So, Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very, very critical. People really need to understand that by if there's a ratification of this agreement, they are going to etch in the stone the pattern across the U.S., and we know that it's already a pattern in many, many places, but this is a union work environment, and they will really inscribe it in stone that this is the way it's going to be going forward.
No, that's terrible. But, you know, but as you've pointed out, this already is the pattern for American workers. The fact that you would get any type of health care in retirement, that's been something that's been long gone from most workplaces.
Well, it's with us in GM, and that was not changed in this agreement. And you know, so for example, you know, and again, you know, so the line was held on the legacy workers, and I have to say, you know, that's a good thing and a bad thing, because it is true that more of the monies in the agreement are being relegated to the in progression and to maybe even the temps, I'm not sure, but there is more being done to raise the bottom. And but what it means for legacy workers is that they're still eligible. They have a pension. They will retire with a pension, but nothing was done with improving that pension, which is a characteristic of previous agreements, that they always made improvements on something called a pension, and they held a line on that, and instead they're going to put, the company's going to put $1,000 in every one of the legacy workers' 401k, and that's it. And that's another, you know, that's a fairly big admission that, you know, pensions are going the way of, you know, other things that we've traditionally held to be dear in the UAW.
Yeah, no, and it's, you know, to have the UAW, you know, you're the last one. Once this goes away, once you're like the last dinosaur. I mean, it's over then.
Yeah. Yeah, and this codifies it again.
Yeah. So what do you think the chances of this contract then being ratified? Because we haven't even talked about the other things, you know, the plant closures. We haven't talked about, you know, any of the bringing jobs back from Mexico. We haven't talked about, you know, a whole bunch of things yet that were front and center. You've just pointed out that, you know, it's there's some money here. Also, uncapping the profit sharing, you know, makes people go, hey, there's more money in this.
Yes, I confess I don't know the significance of, you know, how much more that will mean, but yeah, in terms of there is a lot of, you know, there's bling in the agreement. I mean, people will see that you know, they're going to be able to recoup some cash. I mean, I think the thing that you brought up about the plants, the four plants that in the U.S. that GM last November announced they intended to you know, they were unallocated and intended to close. Certainly, the folks at Detroit Hamtramck Assembly can feel tentatively pleased that they're talking about future work, but it's really rather vague about, you know, they talked about electric truck, but we'll see what comes of that. Certainly, the big losers in this, and it must be the most frustrated UAW GM members, are the ones in Lordstown, who, despite all the talk to the contrary, can read in the summary that the Lordstown plant will close and will remain closed, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I didn't see them ever reopening that. You know, just because, you know, they at a time they did that. I just go, you know, it just seems like now this is the end of it.
I agree, but I think what they were doing, and, you know, it came from GM, maybe we'll build a battery plant next door or something like that. But there's really no mention of that in the highlights. And, of course, you know, my plant, you know, is one of the ones that's going to it'll finally close. There's only 7 workers left and a few contractors, I should add. So, you know, I mean, I think that the problem with that is that it was never an issue. The closure of my plant was never an issue. It was never an issue. And, you know, it's true that in the last years of its life, it only had, like, you know, 300, 400, maybe 500 workers at the max, compared to when we had 3,500. But nevertheless, you know, we had this big hulk of metal, you know, sitting in Warren, and it's what's going to become of it, and what's the impact on the erosion of, you know, the city of Warren's tax base, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, at least some really big questions about the responsibility that General Motors has to these communities. You know, Warren gave GM all kinds of tax abatements. The state of Michigan gave GM's tax abatements and tax credits. So what becomes of all that, and what becomes of GM's responsibility? And the contract doesn't specify any responsibility at all, other than, I should add, other than they do have a incentivized buyout for workers from those plants. So you can get a $75,000 bonus on the way out the door if you're, you know, retired, if you were still working as of October 2018, I believe it was. So that's the only thing that they threw to the workers who remain there and who are now no longer going to be employed in those plants.
Yeah, threw them a quick bone. So in looking at this and weighing what we've seen, because, look, all of this is a negotiation. You're never going to get everything that you want. You know, do you think this goes through? I mean, do you think that, you know, the workforce goes, hey, we've been out, you know, 30 some days. It's worth staying out longer to see if we can get better, or, you know, cut the loss and go back. How are you seeing this playing out?
Well, the most vocal workers are the ones who are really disappointed in the agreement. And I'm assuming there's a large body of workers who are not necessarily, you know, going out on Facebook and giving their feelings about the contract. But I know that I suspect that it's been an amazing strike. I mean, the fact that we've had this long of a strike at General Motors, and, you know, that's going to be weighing on people. It's going to be certainly weighing on the workers in the lower tier. It's certainly going to be weighing on the temps. I think it's going to be a hard one to call, and I think that I would not be surprised if people would accept this agreement because they're afraid that further hardship isn't going to, you know, the negotiators are going to basically say, well, this is the best we could do for you, so, you know, you might as well accept it instead of going back out on strike, you know, and losing more money. I have a feeling that's how it's going to get sold.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, they're not going back out on strike. They're still on strike. I mean, it goes through the 25th.
Yes. Yeah.
All this is going to continue.
It will continue.
So let me ask you, you know, as someone who's done this for a while, is there a way that we could say, look, the membership turns it down and the UAW says this is the best we can get and it's imposed? Is that something that's possible?
So I've seen different outcomes. You know, like in 2015, when the Chrysler workers rejected the national agreement, which was the first in my career that I saw that happen, it was to the UAW's credit, the negotiators went back in and actually came back with a slightly improved contract, and they got ratified. I have also seen the alternative. I mean, decades ago, a contract was imposed after it was rejected. So I don't rule that out.
Right.
I don't rule that out at all. I can well see the leadership wanting to impose the agreement. On the other hand, they might have rebellion in their hands because the leadership, unfortunately, doesn't have the kind of credibility that it might have had, you know, two, three decades ago.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It'll be interesting how it plays out and what the vote will end up eventually being. But I'm hopeful that, because look, I saw this and I go, hey, you know, they got a nice little raise. There's some good money in this. The initial responses looked pretty good. And I'm going, hey, this is a good thing. This is, and then immediately I just got hammered from people going, no, it's crap. It's terrible. It's bad. And I'm going, you know, tell me why. You know, from what I'm seeing, it looks okay. And then they started pointing out, hey, there's this, there's that. And I'm going, oh, you're right. There's still some work to be done.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to be clear, you know, I think there's an anticipation among the rank and file that some of the concessions that were given up would be back in the agreement. For example, time and a half for overtime after 8 hours. We used to have that. That was disappeared. Wow. It hasn't come back. The cost, we used to have a cost of living allowance. In fact, we had a very, very long strike to win back the cost of living allowance decades ago. And that was also conceded back, and we no longer have that. That's not in this agreement. So there's a lot of omissions.
Yeah. So there's still more. There's more stuff to get into. And as it happens, I'd love to hear more. I hope you'll come back and keep us up to date. I appreciate it, Frank.
I appreciate your interest again. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Frank Hammer. Quick break. Right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.